God has his way. I would like to let you know, you need to pay attention. You never know, there might be a quiz with money at the end of the sermon. You never know what happened up in here. You never know. I had to add with money. But nobody want to hear no pop quiz. And nothing, you know, amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we honor you and we praise you. We thank you, God, for there's no doubt that you are in this place. And we thank you for your presence. And thank you, God, for what you've already done. Now, God, have your way in this time of your word. Bring us together on one accord that you might get the glory out of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 28 was read earlier. We want to deal with leadership kingdom style. The title of this message is Leadership Kingdom Style. Amen. Leadership Kingdom Style. Some of y'all know about style. Amen. Amen. But I don't know if you have read all the books or if you have taken all the courses. There are all types of leaders and leadership styles. The main three are authoritarian or autocratic, democratic or participative, and laissez-faire or free reign. But then somebody else says there's more than that. There's a coaching style, and then there's a cross-cultural leadership style. Then there's an emergent leadership. There is a situational leadership style, strategic leadership, team leadership. There is servant leadership, transformational and charismatic leadership. But there is such a distinct difference between the natural and the spiritual, and it should be. And I'm not complaining, and it should be. For the natural is based on flesh, and the spiritual is based on the Spirit of God. Everything in God's kingdom is different when compared and contrasted to the natural or the earthly kingdom. The prophet Isaiah lets us know in Isaiah 55:89 that God is, in fact, different. And if God is different, if you and I belong to God, then we're different. We're peculiar. We're a royal priesthood. People think we're strange. But Isaiah 55:89 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." When a person becomes a Christian, they move from the natural to the spiritual. Most of our struggle is because we do not want to stay in the spiritual. We want to have a mixture of the natural and the spiritual. And God said, no way. It's going to be all of one or the other. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, she is, a new creature, a new creation." And that's what the enemy likes to rob from us when we get saved. The fact that you're saved, you are a new creature. We're new creatures in Christ. And somebody might say, "I don't feel like I'm new." Because it doesn't happen overnight. Anybody ever get their house redone? Did they do it all in one day? If they did, don't pay them. If they did, get out of there right away. It is a process. But it says, "If any person be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And sometimes we get messed up with that passed away. And in God's mind, they're already done. In our minds, if we have the mind of Christ, they're already done. "Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm still doing some of the same things I used to do, but they're already done." If I could get it in your mind and your heart that you're already through with it, you'll be through with it. Come on now. You can get through with some stuff. Let somebody make you mad enough. We act like we don't know how to get through with stuff. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. We can get through with some stuff now. Amen. But you see, everything is different in God's kingdom. Christians should expect different. We should expect different. We should not expect normal. We should expect supernatural. That's what we should expect. And we need to begin to understand that and live that way. We expect supernatural blessings because we serve a supernatural God. Amen. If I get sick, I don't just want a regular doctor. I want a supernatural doctor. Well, Pastor, where do you find supernatural doctors? Well, if you pray up, if you pray when you get there, if you pray for the hospital and for all the doctors and all the nurses and for everybody else that works there and for everybody else that is sick up in there, God will go where you are. You got a device in you, like they put on, you got a low jack all up in you. And the low jack says that wherever you are transmitting a signal to the Holy Spirit. So wherever you are, God can find you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how much stuff is laying on you. That signal is emitting to the Holy God. He said, my child is in distress. My child is in trouble. Therefore, there's something emanating from our beings that God can hear us. And as a matter of fact, say, when God hears us, the angels just begin to flap their wings because they have to go on assignment. I don't want the angels assigned to me to be like the Maytag commercial, sitting there all tired and bored because the Maytag washer never breaks down. I come to let somebody know every now and then I break down and I need my angels assigned unto me. You don't have to be the super spiritual hero. Be real and know that you're real. We're natural, yet we're divine. Stuff hits us. Stuff hurts us. Don't deny it. Deal with it and give it to God. God, I don't like this. God, this hurt me. God, I'm upset. God, I'm about ready to kill something up in here. You got to be real. We can't shock God. We can't surprise God. God knows everything. There's nothing we can bombard heaven with and God will say, oh my God, I never heard of this before. Let me go have a meeting. Christians should expect different and the supernatural. Life is different. Thinking is different. There's a different hope, a different destiny, a different outlook on life. There's a different focus. There is a transformation going on. That's why you tell folks, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. I'm going from the natural to the spiritual. And I know you love for God to accelerate the process in my life so your life could be better. But how about your life? You ever met somebody they want you hurt and get saved and get you all cleaned up while they can just stay like they are? Let's go through this together. Everybody wants you to get it right, like they got it right. That's why God said, you see, get that beam out your eye before you try to get the speck out of your... We need to stop being so holy and so sanctified. I had to let somebody know the other day that you need a prayer through too, not just me. The fact that I'm called pastor or reverend don't make me get a prayer through quick. Man looketh on the outside, but God looketh at the heart. And I'm not suggesting that you ought not get people to pray with you and pray for you. I'm just saying that if you can't get through on this Celica phone, just in case you can't get a texty message to them. A texty message is a fast message. Texty, you got to really get to them. But if you can't get their attention, you can still get God's attention. I mean, you heard it already. I heard a long time ago that God reads knee mail, not email. He reads knee mail. My God. If you just bow down and let him know what's going on. Hallelujah. We don't like to do that no more. Oh, my knees. Get you some pillows. Call your children, but tell them what time you're praying so they can come over and help you get up. God ain't never said be a fool. God gives us wisdom. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Tell them what time you pray. All right, 10 o'clock. Come get me up. And while you're helping them up, you know, say, somebody pray. They pray for you too. But we got to get that prayer in. But there is a distinct difference between kingdom leadership and worldly leadership. In the world, the leader looks to be served. In the kingdom, the leader looks to serve. That's the difference. That's where we get all messed up in church. Because when we come into God's kingdom, when we become a kingdom child, when we become a kingdom citizen, God begins to flip this whole thing upside down. Because when you work in the world, in the marketplace, in the business world, there is a chain of command. There is a pecking order. In the armed services, there is a pecking order. But when you get in the kingdom of God, God flips that thing so that that one on the bottom might actually be on the top. Because the one on the bottom usually needs to be served. And the one on the bottom already knows how to be a servant. Because that's all they've done all their lives. Is serve other folk. So God flips that thing over when you get in the house of God. That's where we get messed up. A lot of times we get a leadership thing and folk supposed to come serve us. Check this out. Sylvia and the rest of the pastoral support ministry, I can say, can I have some water? They bring it over like this. They bring it over, and some of y'all be looking like, phew, I give him a paper cup. I know how you feel. I used to sit out there. I know exactly how you feel. I'm fine. Just tell the truth. Come on. Tell the truth. Some of y'all ain't bring your spouse a cup of water. Bye-bye. But you know what's deep? What's deep is if I can never get to the point where I can walk over to her and serve her. See, that's when you understand kingdom leadership. Is that even though somebody might be serving you in your spirit, in your heart, you can in fact serve them. That's what the washing of the feet was about with Jesus. That's what Peter said, hey, hold up. Wash my whole body. Jesus is the Lord and Savior washing folks' feet. Oh, my. That's why when you promise God to give me a new car, I'll take some people home. Stop lying to God. You be slow walking out the door. No, I ain't getting in my car. Not all those crazy kids, they get in my car. But God flips that leadership thing over because this is leadership kingdom style. And leadership kingdom style said, I have to humble myself. You know, if there's nobody on the pulpit to give us water, all of a sudden I got retarded. I can't get my own water. Oh, come on. I wish I had a witness in here. Sometimes when things aren't in place that should be in place, we get retarded. We no longer become servants. We want to be served. I'm the pastor. Where are my water children? Glory be to God. I'm just talking about real leadership. Folk that don't have to be sitting up front to be spiritual. Folks don't have to be recognized anywhere they go. See, we messed it up because the fact that we're human beings and we're made in the image of God, everybody's not saved. God said respect them because they're human. I understand you respect the office of the president and all that kind of stuff, but when you get in the church, folks not interested in your title. If you got a title and you nasty, and got a bad attitude, and you look for everybody to serve you. Hallelujah. You got to be able to serve folks. My wife and I, we don't mind serving folks. When we go downstairs, I don't mind them having a table for us, but guess what? We're looking around trying to make sure everybody else is all right.
And I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back, but that's just what we do. Because the hospitality ministry be looking at us like, well, y'all go ahead and eat. We got this. And I don't care if they got it or not. That's just us. And they do have it covered, but that's what we do. That's how we were brought up. That's how God blesses us. If we keep on giving out, our cups keep on being filled. And they have it under control. I ask them, they got it. David looked like, Pastor, please, just will you stick some chicken in your mouth and shut up? But that's just what we do. Look out for folk. Leadership in the church, you look out for people. We're supposed to use our gifts to bless the people in the church and to bless one another. See, when you're in leadership, you ought not come seeking to be served. You ought to come seeking to serve. Well, Pastor, that's cold-blooded. No, it's not, because when you get to the point that you're in leadership in the church, you should already have a process for getting your stuff together before you get here. We're supposed to lead by example. Somebody needs to say, I know what so-and-so is going through, but look at them. They're still on point for the Lord. And they're not denying that they're going through something. They're just simply saying, God's got it. I believe I gave it to God, and God's got it, because God wants me to lead. God wants me to serve. God wants me to be a blessing. And I can't mess somebody else's blessing up because I'm all messed up. Learn how to go to the place where you can put your mess so you can do the ministry that God called you to. So, God never calls us to bring mess to the ministry. He said, bring your best, not your mess. If I would lead by example, if I'm going to be a pastor and lead by example, I got to do what God is calling me to do. I got to walk right. I got to talk right. I'm not perfect. I'm striving towards perfection. I like to have fun just like you, but I'm not going to be a stumbling block. I'm not going to tell you about your marriage, and every time you see my wife, she got Band-Aids all over. It wouldn't be my wife. Got Band-Aids all over here. She fights you back. And I don't blame her. I'm going to instruct you in giving. You never see me give. Come on. Come on, church. Get excited about the Lord. I'm sitting there like I'm sucking on lemons every Sunday. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I'm just talking about leadership in the kingdom. Because when we have the leadership right in the kingdom, it spills over to the earth. And we look at Matthew 20, beginning at verse 17. Jesus defines kingdom leadership for his disciples because somebody's mama came to him. She came to him, and that's good because all parents want their kids to do well. But he explained to them that soon he's going to get knocked off. And in somebody's mind, it was like, vacancy, vacancy. Or, you know, his kingdom is coming. And please don't embarrass yourself. When you are on your job and there's a vacancy, just because it's vacant don't mean you're the qualified one. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even think about you was qualified until it became vacant. I mean, if you were qualified, you would have aspirations for it before it came vacant. They gave it to somebody else. They do that sometimes, but are you really qualified? Not perpetrating the fraud. You wouldn't even qualify for the job. They do change the job descriptions. I worked out there. They change them. They revise them so they can get who they want. I mean, they revise them. They just revise them because they're so old. They need revision. They talk to you. They bring you in to find out what you don't have. And that's what they put on the... I'm letting y'all know how it works in corporate America. They have somebody talk with you, take you to lunch to find out what you don't have. And then what you don't have, that's what they put in the requirements. The next time you see it posted, it won't look nothing like it was. I got a lot of folks saying amen out there. But in leadership, Jesus doesn't play those kind of games with us. He's real. He's real. So these three points. Number one, when you get into leadership, can you deal with Jesus' cup? And number two, can you deal with Jesus' baptism? And number three, can you deal with Jesus' style of leadership? Number one, Jesus' cup. Number two, Jesus' baptism. Number three, Jesus' style of leadership.
In Matthew 20, verse 17, he took the disciples up to Jerusalem. He said, look here, Matthew 20 and verse 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, he told them, shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. He said, I got to let y'all know the time has come. And look at verse 19, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. He took them apart on the side to let them know, I'm about ready to leave here. I'm about ready to fulfill the mission that my Father gave me. But look at verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping her and desired a certain thing of him, James and John's mama. Which means that after he told them that, I don't think they had cell phones. They think they had cell phones back in the time. Dick said, no, they had no cell phones. He said, check your Bible. Somehow they must have gone back home to dinner and said, hey, mom, guess what? Jesus is about ready to get killed. And she said, well, y'all been with him. Forget the mother, ten. The two of y'all, y'all my boys. I'm looking out for y'all. And I think y'all ought to have some kind of leadership position when he comes into his kingdom. Don't y'all ask him. No. That wouldn't be right. That wouldn't be right. Because if y'all ask him, the other ten might attack you. So I'm going to go up and I'm going to make like I'm going to worship him. Look at verse 20. She came to him, desiring a certain thing of him. And she's worshiping him, desiring a certain thing of him in verse 20. She came worshiping him. But see, you can't fool Jesus. And he said to her, what wilt thou? In other words, what you want? What you want, woman? Woman, what you want? You know your kids come around if you're all nice to you. Mommy, you want me to do the dishes? Mom, you ain't. I'm vacuuming the carpet. They be messing you up. Oh, I'll get your clothes out to clean this for you, Mom. And you be like, oh, Lord. As a matter of fact, some parents go grab their pocketbook as soon as the kids start talking like that. Because you just melt like a hot, like a piece of chocolate on a radiator. You just, you know. It's wintertime. The sun will come out that bus outside the radiator. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. So she understood something was getting ready to happen. And she said, take care of my two sons. I don't care about the mother ten. Take care of my two. See, when you're in leadership, you just can't care about two. You got to care about 12. You just can't care about the pastor. You got to care about the whole flock. You can't just care about your family. You got to care about all the families here. But Jesus answered and said, you don't even know what you're asking. And then he turned to James and John and said, are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? As a matter of fact, you have another version. They left that part out about the baptism. And what he simply say, can you drink of the same cup that I'm drinking of? Can you drink of the cup of suffering? It was a saying during that time. Can you relate to what I'm doing here? Can you suffer with me? Can you go through something? Do you have any spine? Can you go through anything without it tearing you apart and tearing you down and got you leaving the church and got you giving up on the ministry? Can you drink from the same cup? You want to sit on my right hand and my left hand, but can you drink from the same cup? Can you go through anything? Can you take a little something? Can you take a licking and keep on kicking? When you get hurt and embarrassed and all beat up, will you show up next Sunday? Or did you take it personally? You know you're in spiritual warfare. You know every now and then somebody going to throw a punch. You know how it is in your own family. We get in arguments and we fight, but can't nobody from the outside come on the in. It's the same way in a church family. We get in here and we have our different ideologies, and one day this one feel like this and one day the other one feel like that, and we get tight. But the enemy can't come in.
When the enemy shows up, we got to forget our differences and lock arms to get the enemy out. Because the enemy wants to capitalize on what he thinks he can capitalize on. The enemy thinks because I'm upset with you that he can come in and take my upsetness and tear the church apart. But I come to let the enemy know the enemy ain't got nothing to do with my business and your business. You my brother, you my sister in the Lord, so get out of here. Say, can you drink of this cup? They say, yeah, we can drink. Because sometimes when you want something so bad, you say anything. You want a title so bad, you say anything. I ain't never been none. I've been in church all my life. Nobody ever looked at me. Nobody ever recognized me. That is no reason to be in leadership. Matter of fact, that's no reason to be a Christian. You want to be looked at and all that kind of stuff? No. So they said, yes, we're able. And the whole thing about the baptism, I said, God, why would he say the baptism? Then he said, if you go back to Matthew 3 and Luke chapter 4, and Matthew 3 and 4 and Luke 4, you will understand that when Jesus was baptized, soon after he was baptized, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. In other words, he said, after he was baptized, the Spirit led him, and all he's trying to say is, can you be prepared for leadership? After baptism, after the awesome occasion like baptism, can the Spirit of God take you in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for days? In other words, if you can drink of my cup, you say you can do that, but can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? As a matter of fact, not only will the Spirit take you in the wilderness, you'll get to a point where you got to go back to the Garden of Gethsemane because they get ready to kill you. I'm talking about kingdom leadership. Sometimes it's going to be rough in the kingdom. Sometimes you're going to be misunderstood in the kingdom. But the folks that misunderstand you are not the ones that called you. See, God doesn't just call you once. He calls you back to himself every day. You got to check in with him. I think when God pulled me off my job, I think you almost had to punch a car. Some people had to punch a car. You had to check in and check out. So he said, can you be baptized with the baptism? I'm baptized. Can you be prepared like I was prepared? Can you go? Can you say that everything that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God and believe that thing? I'm talking about kingdom leadership. And you know what's the message for all of us? Because guess what? If you're a Christian, God's giving you a gift, so eventually God wants you to use the gift for his glory, so you'll be in leadership too. So I'm sorry if you might be bored to death, but you're getting ready for leadership too. God is training you up for leadership. So don't think this message is just for the leaders. This is for everybody in here. Every one of us has at least one gift that God wants us to use for his glory. And the fact that you're a Christian, we ought to be living our lives as a leadership, as an example to our brothers and sisters. You don't fall into the trap. Be strong. When you go home, don't be taking off your Christianity and hanging it up. Amen. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Whatever your weaknesses are, pray about it. If you can't handle it, stay home. No, I can't go to that party. I'm be acting just like they acting. Matter of fact, if I get one more in me, I'll be talking like they talking. Matter of fact, if I keep on messing around, I might have a problem with my spouse again. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Let me go on. Can you drink from Jesus' cup? How can we so separate ourselves from certain things and still come in on Sunday like it's all right? There's a place where we need to go to say, God, in the name of Jesus, I need you to purge me, Lord. God, I need you to clean me. God, I need to be sanctified again. Even the things that we don't know. I'm just talking about kingdom leadership. He said, can you baptize you and can you go to the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said to him, we are able. Watch out when you tell God you're able. I say, Lord God, like Ezekiel, thou knowest. They said, we are able. I knew they messed up then. I said, God, you're able. Now let me know if I'm able through you being able. If you enable me, I'll be able. I ain't gonna walk around, I'm able. By the grace of God. And then he said unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with.
But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. See, don't be blowing Jesus' mind. Don't have your mama coming to Jesus tomorrow. Can you do this for my sons? Can you do this for my daughter? But Jesus said, I know what's mine. Right and left, my father going to do that. Oh, my God. And what Jesus showing us, when you're in leadership, don't overstep your bounds. Stay in your lane. If you ain't the pastor, stop acting like you have to. Come on. Stop it. Stop the violence. Stop it. Said, don't overstep your bounds. Stay where you are. You have enough power to do what God has given you. You don't have to appear. That's why they tell us in preaching class, don't imitate nobody. Be your God called you. When he called you, he didn't call you to be like nobody. He called you, if you'll be like, be like Jesus. You ain't got to imitate nobody. Go and be yourself. If you got something to say, folk will come hear you. If you got something to say. If you ain't saying nothing, they don't want to come hear you. Because you ain't said nothing. Because they can sit at home and say, yeah. They got a war in Iraq. And a war in Afghanistan. See, it's getting bad out there. Like y'all don't know. No, we come to give some valuable, vital information for kingdom living. But Jesus already knew who he was and what he came to do. So he could not mix him up. And that whole thing about being baptized, hey, James was martyred and John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. So in fact, they did. But they didn't know that Jesus was in fact enabled them. But when the other disciples heard it, verse 24, I like King James, they said they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. They were mad as you know what. Who in... You get mad when somebody almost like beat you to it. I could have had my mother come to... You know how we get. No wonder they left the meeting early. Go home and tell their mother. And here she come running back talking about, can you let my... Before that, they were loving on each other. But when folk try to get leadership the wrong way, you won't see something get deep? You want to see folks lose their Christianity? Try to get ahead of them the wrong way. They was mad. So Jesus called them all together. And then he explained to them kingdom leadership. He said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. He said, in the world, the tyrants have folk under them, and they go mess with folk under them. And the folk under them go mess with folk under them. And the folk under them go mess with folk under them. And when there's nobody under the other folk, they start rebelling. But that is earthly way. That's the world's way. But God said, when you get into my kingdom leadership, I flip the thing over. That the one on the bottom, if you're going to go do something, you're going to go serve them. You're not going to hurt them. You're not going to oppress them. You're not going to economically deprive them. That's what's going on in the world now. That's why we got so many poor folk and so many messed up neighborhoods. Because the system is designed to continue to keep their foot and their feet on those who are less fortunate. Because the Gentiles on the top don't want to serve those on the bottom. They just want your money. You know how I know that? Because they made a little Mercedes that I could afford. They made a little one. Is it called C-Class? They made a C-Class. You know why? Because they found out money was green. Money ain't black or white. Italian. Money's green. And see, all they want is your money. They don't want to serve you. You actually serve them. When you go get something you can't afford, you serving them. Because guess what? They got your car, your house, your son, your daughter. Because when they can pull the rug from under you, they pull the rug from under your family. But God said in kingdom leadership, I come to restore what the canker worm tried to steal. I come to restore. I come to bless. I come to give. So God said, when you become a leader in my kingdom, that's what you got to have a mindset. You got to have a mindset to restore, to bless, and to give. Said, but in the world. But then verse 26, he said, understand my style of leadership. but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That word in the Greek means let him be your servant. You want to be HNIC? A leader? Yes. You want to be a leader? Thank you, co-pastors. I'll lose it up here sometimes. I'll be going for spirit, flesh, spirit. No. If you want to be a leader, can you be a servant? That word minister in the Greek says, can you be a servant? Are you willing to serve somebody? Can you serve somebody that you know don't like you? Because it ain't about you. It's about the ministry, about the service you're supposed to give them. Hallelujah. That's when you know you're growing in the Lord, when you're in kingdom leadership and you can serve somebody. You know they don't like you, they don't like your family, they don't like your dog or your cat. But still, oh my God, they hate you and your whole family, but God calls you to serve. You just bite your lip, let the blood run and serve. Here you are, you ungrateful. Here you are, you nasty. Here you are. Try it. Practice it before you go to them. Practice it. Did you get that sometimes? You get an assignment like, why in the heck did they give me this family to go visit? I can't stand them. God said, you ain't got to stand them. I ain't asked you to stand them. I asked you to serve them. Oh, Lord. See, I just messed up. I lost about 15 folk. I got 15 people here that said, I never want to be in leadership. You're not there yet. You'll be there. You're not there yet. God's still working in you, working on you. And it's a work in process and progress. Because even if you get in leadership, there's some challenges come. Because don't forget that when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, that he only left them for a season. So every now and then, the enemy come back to make sure you're still leadership material, to make sure you're still sanctified and set aside, to make sure you're still committed and still have compassion for the ministry that God called you to. There's some folk right there that will smile on your face and won't even help you. But that's all right. They did not call you. But I tell you one thing, God will send you the folks that will bless you, that will help you, and that will keep you. So don't get excited when the numbers don't show up. I love my God, because he said, when two or three are gathered in my name, touching and agreeing, there I am in the midst. But I said, God, I'm all by myself. He said, don't you count out the Father, and don't you count out the Son, and don't you count out the Holy Ghost. You got four folk now. You got to talk to yourself that way. You ain't got to like it, but go ahead and get ministry done. Pastor, you don't understand. Ain't nobody showing up. Are you here? You and nobody? Right. Everybody wanted to be all sweet and easy. It ain't like that. We striving towards stuff. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. If you want to be in charge, you got to be the best servant. Another translation says slave. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be servant. That means if you're going to be in charge, you got to serve everybody. Hallelujah. And I tell you what irks me is when people come into the church and tell me what the church is supposed to do. Not even a member here. They come in sometimes. Well, you're the church. I get a sigh for the attitude. Can you at least say hello? Well, the church is supposed to be. Well, what church you belong to? None. But I know what the church is supposed to be about. There ain't no secret, but, be a little nicer. Dick and Tony, can you handle him? But and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Whoever is chief among you, let him be your servant. That word chief in the Greek means first, best, and order of importance. Jesus is the first and the last. He is, in fact, the chief. In Ephesians 2:20, he's the chief cornerstone. In 1 Peter 2:6, he's the chief cornerstone. In Revelation 5:4, he's the chief shepherd. But look what the chief did. Jesus, the chief, illustrates his definition of kingdom leadership in Philippians chapter 2. Turn there with me. He shows us how it's done. Philippians chapter 2. In other words, Jesus is trying to show us, even though you might be chief somewhere else, when you come to God's kingdom, you got to be something else. You might be chief in your house. You're not chief in this house. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
You might rule your house, but God didn't call you to rule. You might be all that on your job, but now you're in the kingdom. You're in kingdom leadership. Hey, on Wednesday night, guess what? I'm not the Bible teacher. I'm a student. Oh, glory be. I know I run my mouth shut up, but I'm not the Bible teacher. You got to know. If I sing with Sister Jackie, I ain't in charge of the choir. I become a choir member. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. See, we don't understand. See, we don't know when to take off leadership stuff. We try to be the leader everywhere we go. We walk out in the world. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. And they better know it. I tell you, you get more bees with honey than you get with lemon juice. Look what Jesus did. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 4. Especially for those being installed today. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, because God will always take care of you as you work out for him. You got to remember that. You will never be short. You will never be short. But look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What's that mind? Who being in the form of God or equal to God, because you know the Trinity, the triunity, he thought it not robbed to be equal with God, but made himself a what? You know what that means? You ain't walk around trying to be all that. Come on, bring your head down. Come on, giraffe. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. If you only come to church because you were in charge of something wrong with you. You ought to come to church because you love the Lord. And God gave you a gift that you can use to bless somebody else. But he said he made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a what? Whoever is chief among you, let him be what? Servant. Minister means servant. He took on the form, the chief. He was chief in heaven. But in order to do what he needed to do on the earth for our salvation, he gave us his chiefness. My God. And became a servant. I was a manager on my job, but when I came here, I wasn't a manager on the job. I was pastor. You got to change when you're in a different environment. You got to know who you are. But guess what? I was still a manager. You're still a leader, even though you're not leading right now. Oh, my. And look, he was made in the likeness of men because he had to relate to you and I, because he was, in fact, going to die for you and I. He had to go through what you and I went through. And being found in the fashion of a man, what did he do? A lot of us got to love. We got some issues with humility. We got to bring it down. We got to humble ourselves. And became obedient unto death. And then it says, even the death of the cross. Obedient unto death, and even the cruel crucifixion of the cross. But you've got to always remember that when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. See, when God calls you to leadership, he already, that's why he asked the two sons, can you drink of the cup and can you be baptized with the baptism? Because if you can go through that, there is something beyond the cross. And he says right here, in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly, don't exalt yourself. When you humble yourself, God will lift you up. Right in the midst of it, just in the nick of time. When everybody's talking about you, think you nothing, God will come in and say, let me just show them who my child is. Put you on the wings of the eagle. Eagles fly above. They say when the eagles hear a thunderstorm coming, I wish we could learn how to get above the stuff. Get above the stuff. Get in prayer and get above the stuff. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What I like about verse 10 is this. That even though while they were crucifying him, they weren't bowing to him, they were going to have to bow. You got to know something. When God calls you to do something, you're going to get it done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And whatever belongs to you, God going to give it to you. No matter what the people say, no matter how they act, if they spit on you, they crucify you, stick a spear in your side and everything, don't worry about it. God is going to give you what he promised you. That's what they said a few weeks ago. For the joy that was set before him, I know it sounds weird. It sounds crazy to go through all this stuff for the joy that was set before him. But I tell you one thing, you can't get to your resurrection until you get to Good Friday. And all of us got some Good Fridays. I don't care if you're a leader or not, you got some Good Fridays that you need to go through. But because you go through your Good Fridays, because God promised you something. In prayer, he told you something. He told you about your marriage. He told you about your son. He told you about your daughter. He told you about that situation, and you believe God for it, therefore you keep on moving. That at the name of Jesus, if you can just wait, because sometimes we want to get back at folks so bad. I tell you, sometimes anybody ever had their fingers just crawl up like this? You ain't made it. Something was going on, and you just felt something tight. You felt something clenching. But don't worry about that. Just say, God, I know what you told me to do. And I know, God, you called me to be here. God, you called me to be here. You didn't tell me they were going to like me. They ain't like Jeremiah. They ain't like Isaiah. They ain't like Jesus, to tell you the truth. They tried to knock his head. Oh, my God. But he already knew what his assignment was. He already knew what his promise was, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things on earth. I don't even know if the things under the earth mess with them, but God don't care. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All we're trying to say is that sometimes you got to give up who you think you are to be who you need to be in the kingdom of God. And when we give up who we need to be and be who we need to be for Christ, everything begins to flow. There are going to be some ups and there are going to be some downs. But guess what? Whatever God promised you, you're going to go through some stuff. But whatever God promised you, don't throw in the towel. Somebody here today, you've been going through a whole lot of stuff, and it just looks like it's not going to turn around for you. The devil is, in fact, a liar. He has lied to you. As a matter of fact, what you need to do is find out how the devil got in and get the devil out. Go check the windows and doors of your life and see where the enemy got in. If you know like I know, if you got a crack in your wall, that when the winds get real cold, you're going to feel that wind blowing on your face. If you know what I know, the next time you feel that wind, you ought to get you some crack filler. All I'm trying to say is that when you find out the areas of your life where the enemy gets in, get you some Holy Ghost crack filler and begin to fill in those areas so the enemy can't get in. He's going to have to dig a new hole. He's going to have to find a new spot. Because I declare, I come to do the work of the Lord. I come to do the will of God. I don't care if you like it or not. Because eventually you will like it because it's going to bless you. You'll understand it better. Let us all stand. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You cannot buy Holy Ghost crack filler in Home Depot or Lowe's. You got to come to the cross. That's where it all begins. That's where salvation begins. That's where you get your call to leadership. That's where you get your preparation. That's where you get the ability to drink from the cup that God would have you drink from. As you open the doors of God's house,